This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is another sermon on the late great UK and USA dealing with the impossible debt that America has. All during the Feast of Tabernacles, we have seen, if you've been watching the money markets and the financials, we came very close to a run on the dollar because of the subprime mortgage problems, that it came very close to pushing the United States into a recession, which would have pushed the world into a recession. And in England, the fifth largest or third largest bank, the Northern Rock Bank, had lines of people with their sleeping bags lined up to draw out their guaranteed £30,000. If they had more than £30,000, they didn't get it. And only by the intervention of the Federal Reserve Bank and different lenders were they able to keep that bank from collapsing. Now, that bank was collapsing because they invested into a lot of American subprime mortgages. And these subprime mortgages are filled with deceit and cheating by those all the way across the board, the real estate brokers, the loan brokers, the borrowers, etc. And the dollar is barely holding its own. It dipped below the 80 index to 76.4. And just the last couple days, they were able to get it back up to 78, almost 79. So everybody says, whew, we avoided problems. But that's still not going to keep things from going under because of the debt that America has. So I'll talk about that in just a minute. Now here is from Money and Markets. The dollar's crash is now so fast and so severe it's setting off nearly every other market on the planet. Foreign currencies are exploding in value. The euro has just catapulted to $1.427 per American dollar, and when it started out, it was 83 cents to the dollar, so it is getting close to doubling in value. Now, in a way, that is good, but in a way, that is bad, because Europe is going to have to lower the value of the euro in order to have goods that are competitive. The Canadian dollar, which only 5 years ago was worth 61.75 cents, guess what? It's exactly par with the U.S. dollar 5 years later. Even currencies like the Philippine peso, the Botswana pula, are now stronger than the U.S. dollar. And gold has just hit a 27-year high. Now, I don't know of any church member who has hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, but if there are any out there who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank, you need to reconsider what you need to do with it. And the commodities are going up. A barrel of oil hit $83.90. They're predicting $100 a barrel oil. Wheat is tripled, going up to 9.51 cents a bushel. $9.51. And here's some things that they have been warning about. The U.S. housing market and mortgage markets would collapse, and they have. Some of the lenders have laid off thousands of loan officers and so forth. And also, they said the Fed would overreact, slashing interest rates and pumping huge amounts of monies into the U.S. economy, and the U.S. dollar was headed for one of its worst routes in history. Well, they were able to avoid it. But nevertheless, Saudi Arabia is moving toward the euro, away from the dollar. They have an inflation rate of 9%. Qatar has an inflation rate of 13%. Now, how did all of this come about? How did this all this come about? Well, it came about because of the debt in America. Let me just give you a few interesting statistics. Phenomenon number one. Americans have virtually abandoned the age-old practice of saving money because they want everything now. And that is also accelerated by the fact that if they're holding dollars today, if they put it in the bank tomorrow, it's going to be worth less. See, because the dollar, if you put it in the bank and you're earning 5%, 5.5%, that seems like very good interest. However, the value of the dollar in a year has dropped 8%. So while you have it sitting in the bank, gaining 5%, you have lost 3% on your money overall, including what you earned in interest. Phenomenon number two, in order to continue growing, the United States borrows massively from hard earned savings of foreign households. Now, remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I told you that the American bankers had their eyes on the Japanese savings. They had $12 trillion in savings in Japan. Guess what? They have their fingers on it. U.S. has borrowed from Japan, Germany, and elsewhere, also all of our enemies. Phenomenon number three, the dollar decline is accelerating in large part because of the subprime mortgage bubble. We talked about that. Phenomenon number four, days of open-ended American consumption are likely to finally come to an end, making it hard to avoid a recession. So they might make it through this Christmas season, but watch toward the middle of January, first part of February, and see what happens. Number five, the political winds are also blowing against the dollar. China has been threatening to bail out of the dollar, but I believe that is merely a threat, because if they bail out of the dollar, they lose their market here. And they can't lose their market. So they're stuck in a situation, but they're using that, I believe, as leverage, so when they want to take over Taiwan, the United States will just back away, not defend Taiwan, not put up a fight, etc. Now, another thing that came out which is interesting in another one, which is this. Remember I mentioned that the Chinese were wondering what to do with their $1.2 trillion of American cash reserves? And I read a report where they were contemplating setting up a company using those assets of American securities and dollars as the capital financing for their new investment company. So they just started it. Chinese Investment Corporation, CIC, is a new $200 billion sovereign investment arm of the Chinese government. So what are they going to do with this? They're going to take over the Hong Kong market. They are going to buy assets around the world. So just yesterday, the stock market reached close to a record high or went into record high territory and pulled back a little bit. And everyone thinks, boy, the stock market's up. No, you better worry, because the foreigners are coming into the stock market to buy stocks and companies so they will own real assets. And as a matter of fact, Dubai, remember the big sell the port facilities to Dubai, to the company that would sell that company to Dubai for $5 billion, and they would run several of the major ports in America, and everybody got it up in arms, and the Congress got up in arms, and they passed the law and didn't do it. Well, Dubai just pulled back, and guess what they did? They got it. They got a bigger fish. They bought a 20% stake in the New York Stock Exchange. So, what's going to happen? I hear now ads on the radio that they've lowered the interest rates, so everyone who needs to refinance, refinance. But here's a problem they have with foreclosures. Foreclosure filings skyrocketed 115% to almost 244,000 in August. The hardest hit was Nevada, with one out of every 165 households in foreclosure. See, because Nevada's economy is based on what?
Gambling.
Gambling. Which means then, if the consumer does not have extra money to gamble, gambling industry is going to go down. And all of those who work for the gambling industry are gradually going to be laid off. And so here's what you have. So here are some of the results of it. The U.S. is now beginning to look like a subprime borrower to the rest of the world. Foreign investors are going to recoil from the dollar in U.S. investments. New Fed rate cuts are going to further undercut the dollar, and the likelihood of a sudden crash of the U.S. currency with an explosion in foreign currencies is greater than any time since the collapse of the continental currency during the American Revolutionary War. Then it shows a chart here. So as I mentioned while I was at the feast, if you have more than $10,000 in the bank, you need to consider real assets such as gold and silver. Because at least when the dollar collapses, or if they shift over to the Amero, which they probably will, then you will have something in hand. Because, and even though in this book, The Late Great USA, and I'll read a little to you out of this in just a minute here, they say they're going to exchange the Amero one for one with the dollar. I don't believe that for a second. However, they may follow the pattern of the euro. Now, how did the euro start? It started by having all foreign trade with the European nations being calculated and settled in euros. While internally, all the nations used their own currency for a period of a couple of years before they switched over to the Amero or to the euro. So I expect that. And I expect that it wouldn't surprise me that they go one for one with euros if they do it as quickly after the 2008 election as possible. Maybe they'll have to do it before. But to have the Amero in external trade, go one for one with the foreigners, and that'll satisfy them without crashing in onto the dollar immediately. Internally, when they switch over, I foresee up to a 10-1. Now, they've done that before. Now, I've suggested that if you're online, you go online and you look up what happened to Brazil and what happened to Argentina, and look what happened to the Soviet Union. Now, it took the Soviet Union 20 years to recover. From about 1988, when it collapsed, to 2008, where they're flexing their muscles. But you see, the Russia today has great reserves of natural gas and oil that they are exporting. So their ruble, which was in total shambles in 1988, is now worth more than the American dollar. So what has happened to change the United States from a creditor nation to a debtor nation? Now, 1982 was a significant shift, and that was under Ronald Reagan. And I think that when history comes out, all of those we think that were great presidents really weren't quite as great as we figured that they were. Because he started deficit spending in the arms race against the Soviets to bring them down. And we went from a creditor nation to lend to a debtor nation. Now our debt is totally beyond control and beyond obscene. Now, before I read you some statistics, let's come back here to Deuteronomy 28 again. Now, we've read these verses, and you're going to hear them quite often here in the near future because it is true. But let's analyze them. Let's think about it. And I don't mean to get totally into doom and gloom, but the problem is, it's kind of like this. If you live in Tornado Alley and the storm watchers don't warn you about a tornado that's coming and you're not prepared and you don't get to a place where you can avoid the tornado, then you're going to blame them for not warning you. So let's think about this thoroughly. And what I want you to do as we read it, I want you to think, as I wrote in my last letter, how the UK is rapidly approaching a time when there would be a Muslim majority. See, because 20% right now are Muslim. And as I mentioned before, the UK went down because of their sins. And the last great sin coming out of the UK is Harry Potter, to spread witchcraft to the whole world, and in particularly to the people in the UK and the United States. Now, verse 43, you know exactly where I'm going. But we need to think about this in a way. This is not something that suddenly takes place. It's something that comes about with what you would call incrementalism. And incrementalism means that they gain strength, they gain strength, they gain strength, they gain strength. And then there comes a time where, like in the United States, we have a flood of illegal aliens coming from south of the border. And just the other day, it showed on the news, I think, a very profound thing, because I'm going to read a little later about what the Latinos say they're doing with California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And they've already shown what they want to do. Down in Arizona, there was a Mexican flag flying over an American flag, and they are flying many of them, and a veteran who served in the Vietnam War got so angry, he went over and cut down the American flag. He didn't cut down the Mexican flag, because if he would have done that, he would have been arrested. But they are claiming that is symbolic of claiming sovereignty. Now, we'll analyze the real sin in just a little bit. Verse 43, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high. That is a process over time. And one of the reasons that no one understands what is happening, or let's put it this way, very few understand what is happening, is because the Protestants say everything in the Old Testament has been fulfilled. which is absolutely not true. And in rejecting the Old Testament, they are rejecting the warnings from God to whereby they could repent and choose God. See, because God, before he does anything, gives an opportunity of repentance. And I think the last major opportunity of repentance for the modern tribes of Israel, being United States and Britain, and of course, Britain has had many more, already many more terrorist attacks than we have. But I think the last one for us was 2001. And remember, God bless America, everybody go to church and synagogues and pray. But they only did that long enough until their minds got back on what they wanted to play. See, because we are a society of selfish pleasure seekers. We don't love God. We love pleasures. We love sin. We love all of these things today. So it's continuing. And that's why even since 9/11, the borders have not been closed. And we'll see what the problem is in just a minute. And if you read this book, The Late Great USA by Jerome R. Corsi, you are going to find that there is treachery, there is deceiving, there is treason, beginning with the highest levels of government in the United States and Canada and Mexico, and they are working toward a North American Union. And I am convinced that they have convinced themselves, because the debt of America is so unworkable, that that's the only way to salvage America, Canada, and Mexico. Now notice the second part. And you shall come down very low. Also a prophecy. And as I mentioned years ago, what happened to South Africa is going to happen to us. Remember that? Yes. And I got an email from a man from South Africa who said, "You are quite correct. You don't have to be carried off to another country to be in captivity." He said, "Here in South Africa, all the white Anglo-Saxons are in captivity to the natives who have taken over. And government is inefficient, crime is rampant, and they come in gangs and take over houses of white people and won't let them in. Just take them over. And of course, the government won't do anything." What has happened is this. God gave the blessing to South Africa. When they came in there, there were hardly any natives living in the land. But after they discovered all the wealth that God said you would find in the deep, the diamonds, the gold, the silver, the chromium, and all that sort of thing, they built up the country. They had the native workers come in, and because they turned their backs on God and left God and got arrogant, then it was taken away from them. Same way with Rhodesia, and today, Rhodesia, which used to export under the British food, they were a net creditor nation just in Rhodesia alone. Now it's Zimbabwe, run by people who are natives, and they don't know how to farm, they don't know how to run any technical equipment. And so they just run around in gangs, take over farms, and now the UN is having to ship food in to keep starvation from happening, you see. So what's going to happen here in America? When it happens, you can rest assured it's going to come worse than an atomic bomb. Now notice verse 44. "He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail." Whereas we started out in this series about the United States and Great Britain, they were the head, they were to be a blessing to the world, but because of sin, because of wretchedness and because of going against God, they are now going to become the tail, and it is a process that is going to take place, and it is happening right now. And those who are in government that want the massive changes are waiting for all of us old fogies to die. Because they have a whole generation of young people that have been educated with no loyalty to America, no morals, no understanding, not knowing how to think, and now they have a perfect voting constituency. Now let's think for a minute here, just a minute, since we're here in Deuteronomy 32. Let's go there, Deuteronomy 32. And let's see a prophecy here of the end times. Now here's the song of Moses. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Now what I want you to do is think about what it says there in Isaiah, the first chapter. It starts right out. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, the Lord has a controversy with his people. Well, here's a prophecy of it. And remember this. As long as we're on the earth, can see it, long as we can see the heavens, those are two perpetual witnesses, day by day, year, week by week, month by month, year by year, that witness that God has established us as the nations. And we receive the blessing of Abraham. But God knows the hearts of carnal people. And people all tell you in a little bit why God is going to allow all this, because I am sure that there are some people out there who are going to say, well, if God is a God of love, why would he do this? Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Well, let's read this prophecy here. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain. How many Bibles are there in the world? Well, I already sent you a little letter on that, right? Yes. Does that contain the doctrine and teachings of God? Yes, it does. Did God send it to you, whoever has a Bible? Of course. It doesn't matter how it got there, you have it. But if you don't read it, that's not God's fault. And a warning is in there so you can avoid a lot of trouble, and we'll see that a little later. My speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Now you put in there concerning in Mark 13:31, and this gospel shall be published in all the world. And then we have in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel shall be preached in all the world. And what we are seeing between the number of Bibles that are printed and all of the means of getting the Word of God out, there is more of the Word of God going out than ever before from every source, whether it's from a Church of God, a Protestant church, or whatever. The Word of God, even spoken in the mouth of a false prophet, if he remains true to it, God will honor it, because it's his Word. And all of those ministers who stand in the pulpit and have the Bible that they preach from and say that Christ has done away with the laws and commandments of God, you are standing right before your own condemnation. It's going to happen. Now notice. Because I publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness to our God. He is the rock. And you tie that in with Matthew 7 and 1 Corinthians 10, Christ is the rock. His work is perfect. Yet everyone says God's a liar. For all his ways are judgment, and no one escapes the judgment of God at any time, period. Every minute of every day, we function because God has made us. And his laws are working just like the law of gravity. a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he, or righteous is he. And we'll see that in a little bit. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are as perverse, they are a perverse and crooked generation called Sodom and Gomorrah. And thus they requite the Lord. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is he not your father that has bought you? Has not he made you and established you? We'll get back to this phrase, made you, because he made the nations and every human being. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. Yes, go back and read the founding of England and the United States in the end time. And they did rely on God, and they did have the word of God. But the Achilles heel was there for their own destruction, which was Sunday keeping and holiday keeping. And that has led to their demise. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel, and you can just put right there, and according to the prophecies in Genesis 49 and Deuteronomy 33. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. And he led him about and instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest and flutters her young, spreading abroad her wings, takes them and bears them on her wings. That's how she teaches them to fly. They get on and piggyback with mom, and then she turns upside down and they start learning to fly. Of course, they have many thousands of feet up in the air that they are, you see. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. And he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, that he might make him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty stone, the butter of kine, the milk of sheep, the fat of lambs, the rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of the kidneys or the kernels of wheat. And and you did drink the pure blood of the grape, the best of wine, the best of everything. And look, in America, have we not had that? Had they not had that in England, too? Yes, indeed. But notice verse 15. Here's the prophecy. But Jeshurun waxed fat. That is symbolic of a people content without God. And kicked. And you are waxed fat and are grown thick. Now this shows that we are fat with evil. That's what it's talking about. Fat with everything that God has allowed us to have, that has given us. All of our wealth, all of our properties, all of our homes and everything. You just think about how easy it is for you to get up in the morning and to fix whatever you need to eat. Have water, you turn on the faucet. You need light, you turn on a switch. You need heat, you turn on the thermostat. You need to get cool, you lower the thermostat. You have everything that you need. If you want to buy something from the store, you can go to the store, and your local supermarket is like shopping the world. And you have nothing that you are lacking, nothing that you desire is left out from you. And you have covered yourself with fatness, then he forsook God, which made him. Now I'll come back to made him in just a little bit. And as we will see, that is the great sin that God is judging us by. and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, or you could say rocks, because it's referring to rock. And didn't we, what is one thing that they even sold in America? What was that called? Remember the phenomena?
Pet rock.
And with abominations provoked him to to anger. They sacrificed to demons, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up, that newly came up when your whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat you, you are unmindful, and have forgotten the God that formed you. Now, Lotus, we looked here, made you, formed you. This is important to understand, so that we understand why we have the problems that we do. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward, or that is perverse, generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. If you want to know what that is, just channel surf through 200 channels on your television, with which those are not a people. And I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. And a fire is kindled in my anger, and shall burn to the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap mischief upon them, and spend my arrows upon them. They shall be burned with hunger, devoured with burning heat, with bitter destruction, and I will send the teeth of beasts upon them, the poisons of serpents of the dust, the sword without, terror within, shall destroy both the young men, the virgin, the sucklings also, with the man of gray hairs, and I said I would scatter them into the four corners, and I would make the remembrance of them to cease among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord has not done all this, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. And he said, oh, that they would be wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase a thousand? Now, I want you to think about the terrorist war. What can one terrorist do? And two, put 10,000 to flight. Think of that as they were all running away from the burning and collapsing buildings of 9/11 at the World Trade Center. Except the rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up. That's correction from God. Just put in your notes there, you read all of Leviticus 26, where he says, I will appoint over you terror. And then I want you to think about England and America. For their rock is not as our rock, and even our enemies themselves being judged. For their vine is the vine of Sodom, and their fields the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall, and the clusters are bitter. And you can go on. Let's read a little more here, because this defines the nation today and where we are. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent him for his servants when he sees that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which they did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I am he. That's the whole lesson that's going to happen from this, you see. I kill, I make alive. I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. I will lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. And if I wet my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to all my enemies. So when God is done with correcting us, he's going to correct all of the nations of the world, which is going to end up with the seven last plagues in Revelation 16. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, that with the blood of the slain and the captives from the beginning of the revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O you nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants, he will render vengeance to his adversary, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. That's a song of Moses. Isn't that amazing? And don't those words fit today? I want you to take those words when you hear this sermon, and I want you to think about it when you watch the news. And don't just watch ABC, NBC. Watch as many news channels as you can. Also, if you have the capacity, watch some overseas news. Now, we'll talk about the debt here in just a minute because there are other things that have taken place. Let's come here to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. This becomes very important for us to realize. Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Okay? Why has it happened? People want to know, why would God do such a thing? Why would he kill so many people? Why would he let them starve? Why would he let famine come upon them? Why would he send the enemy in? Why would he bring about the bankruptcy of the nation? Let's pick it up here. Isaiah 5. Let's pick it up here in Let's begin in verse 8. Now, the first seven verses already covered during the feast about the vineyard of God. Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house, that lay field to field until there is no place left. And you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land. The Lord of hosts swore in my ears, truly many houses shall be deserted, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Going to happen because there's going to be repossession. Yea, 10 acres of a vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of a homer shall yield an ephah. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink, and who continue late into the night while wine inflames them. And I want you to think about the drug scene. I want you to think about degenerates that has happened, that have been in the news, especially the two girls, Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. Typical of the spoiled, rotten, self-serving, narcissistic, pleasure-seeking, just sex-consumed, drug-consumed youth of America today. Now notice. And the lyre and the harp and the drum and the pipe and the wine are at their feasts. Rock concerts, those are their feasts. But they do not regard the work of the Lord. Yea, they do not see the work of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into exile because they have no knowledge. They've rejected knowledge. Put in your margin here, Hosea 4. You reject God, God's going to reject you. You reject God, God is going to reject your children. And their honorable men are famished, and the multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore the grave has enlarged its appetite, it opened its mouth without limit. Down goes her glory and multitude and brawlers, and he who rejoices in her shall go down into it. A man is bowed down, and men are brought low, and the eyes of the lofty ones are humbled. But the Lord of hosts is exalted in judgment, and God, the Holy One, is sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed in their own pasture, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. It's going to be consumed by them. Stranger, rise up above us. Woe to them that draw iniquity with vanity, with cords of vanity. That's what's happening. It's exactly what is happening in the betrayal of this nation, and because of the debt that we have, the United States has no other way to go but down unless there is mass repentance that I talked about during the feast. What are those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes? They're just out there pulling at it, you see.